May your voice speak through your word today. Lord, I step out of the way. You speak. Thank you, Lord. Shepherd us. Guide us to the pastures that you would have us to feed from today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a brief review for us. We talked about hearing our shepherd's voice. We read and we talked about being the gate. And the first of all, our shepherd's voice is heard, and I use Nikki Gumbel's material there, five ways. And at some point, I will expand on those. But just encourage you. First is commanding scripture. Second is compelling spirit. Third is the counsel of the saints. Fourth is common sense, which doesn't seem to be too common these days. Five is circumstantial signs or providence. And just to clarify a little bit, when Nikki was asked, well, how do you find God's will? And he come up with these. He said, well, you're never going to have all five. Or very, very rarely will you have all five line up. You have three. And he referred back into the Old Testament and the New Testament of testimony that's weighted on two or three witnesses is reliable. And so you have those first three, commanding scripture, compelling spirit, and counsel of the saints. You are on pretty good footing if those all three line up. We learned last week of Jesus saying, I am the gate. He says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, I am the door for the sheep, leading to life. All who came before me as false messiahs and self-appointed leaders are thieves and robbers, but the true sheep do not hear them. I am the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved and will live forever and will go out freely and find pasture, spiritual security. Let's look into the word. We start at verse 11. Knowing the shepherd. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The farmer in my former church, who at one time owned sheep, and his daughter got to know the scriptures a little bit, and as she got to know the scriptures, she found out that a shepherd became a king in the Old Testament. Name is David. So she came home one day and saw her dad tending the sheep and said, Daddy, when do you get to become a king? When do you get to become a king? Well, isn't it wonderful? Because of what Jesus did, we are reminded that we are, from Peter, kings and priests in his kingdom. Kings and priests. What a wonderful thought. Because of him being the good shepherd. Well, what does good mean here? Do a little word study. Good in the Hebrew has multiple meanings. Pleasant, joyful, agreeable. That which gratifies the senses. Boy, that steak was good. That gratifies the senses. Oh, Josh isn't here. Blast. Talked about food and he's gone. Where is that guy? Anyway, got to be teaching or something. The Greek word shepherd is the word poimen, which we get our title from pastor, or pastor from, which is interesting. So good being agreeable, joyful, pleasant, and pastor, or pastoring. Isn't it wonderful that God is the originator of all that is good? God is the originator of all that is good. When we think of good, the word good brings out the depths of words in the English language like dependability or reliability. We hear ourselves say that word, well, that was a good fill in the blank, tractor or piece of machinery. Oh, I remember how good that truck was. I was talking to someone this week who was getting rid of their truck. Oh, they've owned it since 1979. That was a good truck, dependable, reliable. At the heart of good, I would say, lies the word integrity. Integrity, things that we can trust in with all of our minds. We as sheep need God's goodness. God's goodness far exceeds any reliability or integrity of man-made things. God's goodness is at the very heart of who he is. Because we all are sheep, and we all stray, don't we? We need God's goodness. Prophet Isaiah said that our goodness or our righteousness is as filthy rags. But God's goodness is what we need. Philip Keller, some of you may have read his book. It's quite old, but A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. He was actually a sheep rancher. He says this, unless their shepherd makes them move, sheep will actually ruin a pasture, eating every blade of grass until it finally the fertile pasture is a bare ground. They're easily frightened and nearsighted and very stubborn. That doesn't describe anyone, does it? Here. Some nervous laughter. Oh, pastor's talking about me. An entire flock can stampede at the sight of a jackrabbit. They're not like cattle. They're not like horses, although horses are kind of easily spooked at times too. But sheep need a shepherd. Sheep have little defense mechanisms. They're timid, feeble creatures. Their only recourse is to run if no shepherd is there to protect them. They have no homing instincts, so when they run, they just run wherever. Doesn't matter. Just go. Gone. They can be like that picture, right? You're trying to catch them, and they're gone. Reminds me of my dog a little bit these days, going downstairs to try to eat out of the cat box. Leave that one alone. Too much bad mental imagery there anyway. So he's got a potty mouth. That's all I got to say. Bad joke, I know. We need a shepherd, don't we? We need someone to guide us. We need someone there, and that goodness of God guides us, brings meaning to life. I am the good shepherd. We back up one verse. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have abundant life. Boy, a lot of people around our world today are looking for life. Physical life. They want that life. They're looking for a vaccination for this virus to be able to bring life the way people know it back. 24 million people in Italy and 46 million people in Spain are all on lockdown because they want to, you know, bring that curve, that medical curve down and flatten it out. And that's good, but it's just astounding. The steps that are taken in order to bring physical healing, physical life, or retain that physical life in people. But Jesus said, I come to give life and life abundant. Shepherd, the true good shepherd, the goodness of God brings life. The very beginning of creation, what did God say after everything he created? That it was good. And then when he created man, man was very good. You know, we're all very good. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Good. Because God created us, not by anything that we think or do, but by what God has done. And Jesus wants to bring and has brought that relationship back for us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That yes, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, But Jesus died in order to bring and bridge that relationship that many of you have shared with so many others, that the chasm that sin created, the cross bridged and brought us back into relationship, brought us back into life. The shepherd gives life. The shepherd became a sheep. We sang about it. The shepherd became a sheep, the Passover lamb, in order to save the sheep. You know what's very interesting, a chronological fact about the week of Passion? You know, the very moment that Pilate condemns Jesus is the very moment that the high priest selected the flawless Passover lamb to be sacrificed. That exact very moment. What a thought for us. That those two things coincided. That was no accident. That was God's divine plan for humanity. How does Jesus bring us this abundant life? By giving his own. By giving his own as a shepherd. He lays it down. We talked about, and you saw the picture last week, that shepherd and the pen, and there was no gate, but the shepherd stayed in the gate. No matter what came in, what went out, had to go through the shepherd. No matter what we face in this world today, whether it's coronavirus, whether it's cancer, whether it's something else, Jesus allows it in or he leaves it out. Job knew that, right? In the book of Job, what does he say there? That the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Life doesn't always come through healing, but life can come through suffering too. And as we work through this, and oftentimes, as we said, and as Gary has said, and John has said, that when struggles come, when there's problems, when there's issues, and down through Christian history, when there's been issues, the church steps up and brings life. We are the epitome of purpose and life and meaning in this world because we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. When all is chaos around us, which seems that way right now, Jesus gives us his hand and says, come, get out of the boat, like he did with Peter. Walk with me. I am your good shepherd. But then there's this hired hand. The hired hand doesn't give life, but takes life. How does he take life? He or she take life. Well, all that is on the mind of a hired hand is himself or herself. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. There's ownership there. Hear that word, ownership. Jesus has bought us with his blood. So, regarding the thief, or the hired hand, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. He said, like, without a shepherd, the flock has no focus. So we must focus on the shepherd and his voice. What is he saying to us today? The hired hand is focused on self-preservation. Hired hands tend to drive the sheep, not lead the sheep. Hired hands tend to drive the sheep and not lead the sheep, driven by their own selfish greed. Four characteristics of how Jesus, the good shepherd, is different than the hired hand. Four characteristics. First, Jesus approaches directly. He enters at the gate. He has God's authority. The gatekeeper allows him to enter. Number three, he meets real needs. The sheep recognize his voice and follow him. Number four, he has sacrificial love. He is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. So he approaches directly. He has God's authority. He meets real needs. He has sacrificial love. That sounds like goodness to me. Goodness of God. That Jesus doesn't beat around the bush. He's there. He's for us. He meets our needs. He comes in God's authority. He does nothing outside of what his Father tells him. He is the shepherd and he is the gate. And now, one of my favorite parts of this passage. I love this verse, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Whew, that hits me right in the heart. We can have a relationship with Jesus Christ the way he had a relationship with his Heavenly Father. A knowing of Jesus, a knowing of his ways and his words, his thoughts. Do we want that, church? I want that for my life. That's what drives me as a pastor, as a shepherd, an under shepherd to Jesus Christ, is that we would know as we are known. That we can have that intimate relationship that Jesus had with his Father. And you say, well, how in the world? That's mind-blowing, Joseph. How can you do that? Well, we can't. We just can't do it. But we know each other. We know him as we read his word, as we pray and pray for others. That we can walk out these same characteristics, that we can approach Jesus and approach God the Father directly. We read in Hebrews, right? We can come with boldness before the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. We read in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now go and make disciples. We are in God's authority. We walk out in that authority. John Corlett read that passage from Matthew about meeting real needs. We have the ability through Christ, through relationship with Christ, to meet the needs of those around us. We talked about hearing God's voice, praying for people. If someone's name is laid on your heart this week, today, go pray for them. Phone them, see if they have needs. Number four, we can walk out in this knowing because Jesus had sacrificial love. He's called us to sacrifice as well. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Right? Let a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny himself, sacrifice, lay down our lives. What a deep form of love. This is relationship at its deepest level. And as we can see through what's going on in our world currently, I watched last night on the news of how people appreciate even the smallest thing. There was a standing ovation on the porches of apartments and places in Italy for the help of the healthcare workers. We appreciate relationship. We appreciate people meeting our needs. And the greatest need for a relationship with God has been met through Jesus Christ, through what he's done for us. And we can know the Father as Christ knows the Father. We can know the Father as Christ knows the Father through a relationship with him. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Through the Good Shepherd? Jesus is our advocate to the Father, our friend. We have union with him and communion with him. We have a covenant relationship with Christ. He knows us so intimately. I believe that at times that King David had that type of relationship with God. We read so many things in the Psalms, such as him knowing our innermost thoughts and knowing all of our days. Love that scripture that all the days that were ordained for us were written in his book before one of them came to be. You know, he knew that you're going to be sitting in church this morning. He knows who's going to get coronavirus and who's not. God knows that. That should give us hope. God knows who's going to die from corona and who's not. This whole thing never took God by surprise. Never. Nothing ever does. And oftentimes when things humanly seem at their worst, God is so, not that he never stops working because he never does, but he is there working in the midst of that, because of that, And in spite of that, he's there and he wants us to hear him. He wants us to hear his voice, to draw close to him, to stand on his promises. We can face these days. God knows the length of our days. The Bible says that. So we should walk out with hearts of wisdom. Doesn't the sovereignty of God bring peace? That he knows and he's in control of everything? Sure brings a lot of peace to my life. Brings life, brings that abundant life, that knowledge, that hope. Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus was called to the nation of Israel. He wept over Jerusalem, but he has other sheep, us Gentiles, to call in. He's calling. Are we listening? He's calling. Are we listening to his voice? We're included. We belong. We belong. We belong. We have community with Christ. All this knowledge helps bring that abundant life that Jesus promised us. But we need to ask ourselves at times, and we need to be discerning, what shepherd are we following? What shepherd are we following? Because there's sometimes, look at Peter, for example. Right? At one point in time, he says, you are the Messiah, the chosen one. And then just a few minutes later, he says, no, you're not going to go to the cross. No way. Get behind me, Satan. Right? How often are we not the same? Where one moment we are leaning into the Lord and his message and his word and his hearing his voice, and then the next minute our minds are full with anxiety, leaning on our own understanding, not acknowledging him in all of our ways. And he's not leading us. So what shepherd are we following? Are we following the hired hand or the good shepherd? Like this quote from Dallas Willard, he says, the Lord is my shepherd is written on more tombstones than lives. The Lord is my shepherd is written on more tombstones than lives. Is he truly our shepherd? Are we allowing him to control and help us in every decision that we make? We all desire that abundant life. But often what gets in the way is being driven rather than being guided. What do I mean by that? Tourist was visiting Israel and was looking out on a scene, and there is a man who was behind a flock of sheep, and he was driving them. And the tourist had an inquisitive look on his face and said to the tourism guide, I thought that sheep were supposed just to follow, not be driven. And he said, well, that's not the shepherd. That's the butcher. That's not the shepherd. That's the butcher. Ooh, okay. Oftentimes the butcher in our lives is the thief, the one who takes away life. Satan often can take that form. He wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy. He can often drive us to focus on our past failures or our present fears rather than the presence of God. He can drive us to focus on our past failures and our present fears rather than the presence of God. Our current relationship with our good shepherd. Also, our union with Christ. What does Paul say in Corinthians? The old is gone, the new has come. That is our relationship. The old, what we knew from before, no longer should have hold on us. But the newness of Christ and what he has for us, that we are sealed with him. Powerful promises for us. So if we are feeling driven by the Lord and not led, maybe driving ourselves or being driven along by the expectations of others, oftentimes that's the case when we feel driven. Greg Mate, in his book, I Am Changes Who I Am, says, Jesus is a leader, not a driver. There's a difference. Jesus is a leader and not a driver. And Jesus, is, he says, is a shepherd and not a butcher. So whether we are being led instead of being driven is based on whose voice we are listening to. Whose voice are we listening to? Obviously, Jesus' voice is the right answer. But what false shepherds are calling out to us? Is there noise that is clogging our ears? In a typical week, think about what you say yes to and what you say no to. And that can tell you whose voice you're following. What do you say yes to in a week and in a day, and what do you say no to? What decisions, what drives your decision making? Depends on whose voice you're listening to. We see that so evident in our world this past week. Hoarding. People feel out of control. Why? Because for so long we've been taught our culture's taught us, and even sometimes higher education has taught us, that we're our own truth. We're in control of every single thing that we do. And that's a lie. A lie that now is being exposed by people full of anxiety trying to control something, so they buy 270 rolls of toilet paper, or they try to sell a whole bunch of pallets of Lysol wipes so they control their own destiny. But they're not. What do you say yes to and what do you say no to in a week shows whose voice you're listening to. Are you being driven? And in a positive slant to that, sometimes being driven isn't necessarily a bad thing. It shows self-motivation, right? But at the same time, are we looking for results for our own good or for His glory? Are we looking for results for our own good or for His glory? And that is a question we need to ask ourselves every day. Why am I making this decision? Is it for my own good? There's that word good again. Or for God's glory. Allow the Spirit to give leadership instead of the flesh. Follow instead of being driven. Follow. Follow Christ. He knows the way. He's been here. He's done it all. We don't have a high priest that is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Hebrews tells us that. We can trust Him. Trust Him to show us the way, how to act. So if you've said yes to some things, and not even just decisions that you walk out in, but mental focuses in your mind, if you focused on things that are irrational, fears, things that just rob you of life rather than giving you life, I encourage you not to leave this building today before you've released those at the foot of the cross. Release those things, those voices, those false shepherds that are trying to get you to walk down a mental pathway that will lead to nothing but lifelessness rather than life fullness. Release them. So are we ready to follow not only a good shepherd, but a great shepherd and a chief shepherd? Are we ready? The good shepherd here, the emphasis that Jesus is giving is on His vicarious death on the cross. We take a step further, Hebrews 13, 20 through 21, which I often read to close our service. You'll hear me say it again today, is, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, or that great shepherd, not just the good shepherd, but the great shepherd, equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Christ Jesus. So we have the good shepherd who lays down His life. We have the great shepherd who is resurrected to new life. The great shepherd has overcome the grave. Back from the dead. That doesn't replace His goodness. He has a good shepherd and a great shepherd. There are many good men. And there's lots of good men out there fighting this virus right now and fighting other things. But the grave could not hold the greatness of God's Son. And so He is able to lead His sheep. The great shepherd is able to lead His sheep past the gates of death to eternity because he has overcome. Finally, we have a good shepherd, we have a great shepherd, and we have the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." The capping emphasis is not because he is returning, but upon his return, Christ will reward the faithful. Those who have fulfilled his plan, who have walked out and heard his voice, he's coming again. Jesus is coming as the chief shepherd, as the great shepherd, as the good shepherd. Are we listening? Are we ready? In Hebrew, the title, "The Lord is my shepherd," is Yehovah Roi. Yehovah Roi. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to close with a prayer to our shepherd to guide us this day. Let us pray. Yehovah Roi, you are my shepherd. I shall not be in want. You make me to lie down in green pastures. You restore my soul. You lead me beside still waters. You prepare a table before me in the presence of those who oppose me. You anoint my head with oil because my cup overflows. Because of you, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Because of you, because you are my shepherd, I will dwell in your house forever. You are the great shepherd, the guider of my soul. You are both king and shepherd over all. In your powerful name, amen.